Welcome to Shotgun Sports USA, recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world. I'm your host, Justin Barker, and I talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines. Championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, world-class target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. If you're into clay target sports, you are at the right place for insider information from some of the best in the world. Check us out online at shotgunsportsusa.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram. Shotgun Sports USA is powered by Winchester Ammunition, the American legend. Also brought to you by Cole Gunsmithing, Ultimate Shooting Accessories, Rick Hemingway's Promatic Trap Sales, Sound Gear and Sound Gear Phantom, Comp and Choke, Clay Shooter Supply, and Clay Target Vision. This week's a little different. I was at the U.S. Open at Backwoods Quail Club and had Team Beretta on talking about the new A400. Not only do we talk about it, we show it to you as well. Head over to the Clay Labs YouTube channel and you can watch this episode in high def. Make sure you subscribe and like the video. The audio in this episode is not up to par, but we did the best we could with it.
All right, so we're doing another episode of Shotgun Sports USA here at Backwoods Quail Club in Georgetown, South Carolina. I've got a group of people here with me. We're going to talk about the Beretta A400, the new one. And all of the people here shooting, let me introduce everybody. Travis Hayden with Beretta USA. Desi Edmonds, which is a Beretta-sponsored shooter. Mr. Rich Cole with Cole Gunsmithing, which Rich is part of Cole Gunsmithing and is the largest premium Beretta dealer in the world. So glad to have him in here with us. On my right, we have Diane Sorrentino, a longtime Beretta sponsored shooter, and Mr. Joe Finizi over here, which is a Beretta shooter also, and one of the best with a semi-auto right now and coming up through the ranks. So congratulations on everything you've accomplished and everything everybody's accomplished. But I want to talk about these guns we have laying here, which is the Beretta A400 XL. Okay, they've redesigned them. And Rich, I kind of want to get into this with you on how they have changed. But first, I want to ask Travis about the guns. How does Beretta feel about the guns that they've redesigned? How are the consumer market adapting to the new guns? Are they wanting them? Yeah. How are you producing them? Tell me a little about this gun and Beretta USA and how they've all come together to produce this.
Definitely. First, Justin, thank you for having me.
Yep.
It's exciting to be on here and Backwoods. They're putting on a great show here at the U.S. Open. Beretta USA, Beretta in general, you really think about it, the A400 has been out. We've been discussing here almost a little over a decade, 10, 12 years.
Right.
And it became a staple in the auto loader market. And it really was that go-to. And it became, I'm a little biased. I would say it's the best semi-automatic auto-loader gas-operated gun out there for competition plates. But that's my point. But the market also has said that, right? And it's really difficult to make some improvements. But Beretta takes that from the consideration of what the shooters need. How does it make small little updates to improve different ergonomics, bolt releases, and chambers to be able to ensure performance and drive performance on the field, right? So it really, Beretta is very fanatical about that, and the product development team is extremely laser focused on analyzing all the different aspects of that performance and trying to deliver that. So from our perspective, Beretta USA, we're very excited about it. We've had really strong market adoption. We will continue to see that by the performance of the shooters and also the listeners out there shooting this at the US Open and all the different competitions that they take their loaders to.
Right. Rich, I was talking to you earlier today, and I started bringing up the 303s, and you said, well, it went even further back than that with the AL2, the 301s and 302s. So, I mean, kind of
really goes way back. Beretta's, it was the 1970s, the AL1, it was fairly short-lived. They made some improvements, came up with the AL2, and Beretta had that basic pattern of piston and action bar assembly, breech bolt locking system. you know, right up through the, you know, the AL2, A301, 302, 303, 390, 391. All of those guns share very, very, very similar in engineering. And, you know, Beretta's a company that, you know, I mean, due to their size and the scale of their manufacture, they have the ability to do very, very sophisticated engineering and quality control analysis type of processes. You know, so they just kind of go on and they make these sort of rolling engineering changes and change the product and continue to improve it. And the A400 is a complete 100% departure, you know, from that system that Beretta used for, you know, for so many years. And, you know, because it's, you know, you look at that AL1 right up through the A391 and you lay them on the table and you say it's very, very obvious what the evolution was. And then you put them next to the A400 and start to look closely and you realize the only thing that these things share and similar is their gas operated guns.
Yeah. Mm. You were talking also about how they are easier to clean now. A lot of people hated cleaning automatic, but now there's not an issue.
Yeah.
Joe's a master at it.
Yeah. Well, Joe knows, you know, the function of his shotgun, you know, and his success, they have a relationship there. All of your top shooters, you know, all your serious shooters, you know, they know that this is the tool.
Right.
You know, this is the tool. You know, whatever kind of gun it is. I mean, if you don't take care of it, you know, it's not going to serve you well.
So, Joe, we're talking about cleaning guns. How often do you clean yours?
You know, it really depends. I think you could go thousands and thousands of rounds with these guns and not have to clean them, really. I mean, I think they're that tough, they're that durable, they're that reliable, and that's part of the reason I love shooting the automatic. I think the more you do clean it, just psychologically, it helps me. And I know Mr. Rich has talked about this quite a bit in the past, and he'll even, you know, probably be able to elaborate on it now. A lot of the issues that people are presented with when it comes to, you know, a failure with their gun, their tool is, you know, it's their fault in a way, because they haven't done as good of a job of, you know, kind of keeping good care of their gun or kind of cleaning their gun, knowing when to replace parts, springs, pins. You know, they're just doing a poor job of, you know, kind of manicuring their tool. And, you know, the more I take care of my gun, the more confident it allows me to be, you know, in competition. And, you know, the gun runs better. And also when you're cleaning a gun that was cleaned 2 or 3 days prior versus cleaning a gun that was cleaned 2 or 3 months prior, the process is a lot easier.
Right.
So I'd rather be able to clean my gun a lot and it be pretty easy and effortless than, you know, clean it every couple times, but it takes me 3 or 4 hours just because it's, you know, been such a buildup of a long time. So, I mean, I clean it before every event, you know, sometimes a couple times at the actual event and, you know, wipe it down when I practice, but you know, you have to take care of your tool, and the more you take care of it, the better results it'll present you with.
It's interesting, like, from my perspective, like, people and their relationship with their tool or with anything, there's a care that goes into the cleaning aspect of it. And you can actually see how, when you take care of the product, it'll take care of you. I mean, if you really spend that time with it, it will do you justice out there when that matters most. When you need to break that last play, if you've taken that little target and then you clean that, you know, fine-tuned it, it'll help you. Just both, like you said, Joe, both psychologically and also the mechanical operation of the gun will continue to run smooth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Rich, what's changed? Why is it easier now to clean?
Oh, boy, that's funny. You know, the old-style guns, you know, We have so many people out there. I love my 303s, 390s, 391s. I love them. Oh, I hate cleaning them. You know, it's kind of like you in those old guns, when you took the fore end cap off, slide the fore end off, take the barrel out, pull the charging hammer, and you pull that breech bolt falls off that action bar slide, and the bolt slide drops off, and the pin comes out, the connecting rod drops out, and it's like a Rubik's cube. Now you got to try and put it back together.
Yeah, next thing you know, there's 10 pieces
on
the table.
Are laying there in front of these how do they go back together again? And then you got to have 6 fingers on each hand to hold everything all in place. That hopefully you get it lined up, tunk it a little bit, and it all goes back together again. You wipe your brow off and say, oh, thank God, you know, I mean, you got that thing back together again, you know. I don't know whether I want to shoot tomorrow or not, because I don't want to have to clean it again, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guns right here, you know, it's a different system. So what you have basically is that the bolt carrier, okay, and the action bar are all one piece. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you take your forend cap off, take the forend off and the barrel off, you pull the charging handle out, then you slide that action bar out. The action spring and the covering sleeve and the bolt and everything, it all comes out as one piece, you know, and then basically all you have to do, if you really wanted to give it a great clean, is you push a little pin out that allows the firing pin spring to come out, and then the bolt cam comes out, and it's right there, and it only reassembles one way. It really is very, very easy. And, you know, I'd like to go back on what Joe was talking about in the cleaning of it. We were talking, when you clean your gun, you have an opportunity to examine the parts and look at the parts. And if you see something is wearing or it's cracked or it's chipped, you know, it's like, light bulb can go off. Maybe I need to ask somebody about this. You know, maybe there's going to be a problem. You know, you can catch that thing before it's actually broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the middle of your shoe, you know. Mm-hmm.
The guns aren't tough enough to run on a cracked part or, you know, a weird out spring, and they really will. I mean, they'll keep going and going, but you know, I think it's better to replace it, you know, early before you have
it. Preventative maintenance.
Rather than, oh, I'm just going to shoot it till it breaks. Yeah. But what if you're, you know, we're at the U.S. Open now, this is one of the largest shoots we'll shoot all year. You know, what if we're halfway through a round and then it happens? You know,
yeah,
you just want to avoid the circumstance.
Over the years, I'll replace those springs once a year, whether I think they need it or not. I would just replace them just as good general maintenance to the
mm-hmm.
gun. And I just, you know, from there, you know you won't have any problems. Or like Joe says, you have that confidence right here
exactly.
that the gun's going to
yeah.
work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So over the years, you shot them forever as well.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. How?
26 years on the auto.
So which one did you start with?
The 390.
390.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you seen them progress and made it easier for the shooter as far as the build of the shotgun?
Wow. Well, obviously the 390.
Do you still have all these guns?
I do.
Nice.
I do.
It's a color. You've won enough tournaments with all those guns. You darn sure should keep them.
I've won every major with them, with the auto. But anyway, back when it was even the thing to have the wood painted.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, when we had the red, white, and blue USA and everything.
Yeah.
All kind of neat. But yeah. So over the years, you know, the 390 to the 391, and then the Technus model, which was really pretty receiver,
yeah.
silver with the blue on there. I didn't think, at that point, when I heard the A400 was going to evolve, I was like, oh, why? Because this gun is just perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think they can make a better gun. And the gun, don't get me wrong, the gun is better. They have made improvements overall to it, but they've all been really good guns and dependable over
yeah.
the years. And this gun here, and I said it before, I didn't think it could be better, but it is, just a little bit. There's different things on this gun that are a bit different. I mean, for me, one of the biggest changes is the loading port where you go and put your second round in there. It was just we were just talking about it. I was showing these guys and I said, over the years, I said, I've developed this little lump on my thumb from loading the second shell. It's just weird, but now plenty of room to go ahead and get that second shell in there, and it's comfortable. The gun has just been, you know, I've been shooting the A400 now for 10-12 years.
Mm-hmm.
it's just flawless. And then the little changes they've made to this one, you know, the extended bolt handle, they've already got the quick closer on it, you know, the wide loading port. And if it can be, the gun, I believe, is faster as far as the cycling of the gun. Would you agree, Rick?
Yes, feel that.
It's just faster.
Blink system.
Yeah. The blink technology.
Yeah.
But one thing, and I had to kind of survey a few people just to make sure it wasn't me. I believe that this gun, the new A400, is just slightly less in felt recoil than the, let's call it the blue A400. So, and talking, and I you know, I mentioned it to Dez and she agrees with me. I think Zach shot it fairly a fair amount. He agrees with me and a couple other people. So, wow, just when you think you have a real soft shooting gun, they make it even better.
Yeah. You know, I was kidding with Joe earlier.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The loading port? That's what Diane called
right.
it. Whatever you
yeah.
want to call it. I said, Joe, can, when you flip your gun over now, can you see more of the shell to make sure that it's in there the right way? You know,
it's a sneak peek. I call it the sneak peek.
Yeah,
that's right. You got to make sure it's in there.
Yes. It's, you know, I've duck hunted with these guns, the Beretta automatics,
mm-hmm.
and that larger opening would be awesome, you know, to have had years back, trying to load them with gloves or trying to, you
right.
know, so. But mm-hmm. Rich, Cole Gunsmithing is known for custom gun work. And you can take one of these guns and make it something completely custom. What all can you do to an A400 to make it custom? And didn't you have part, weren't you enlarging those?
The port, yeah, the loading ports.
The
yeah.
loading
yeah,
ports.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we did with the blue guns was we'd set them up on a CNC machine and we would ball and mill that. To drop that down to make that a little bit easier, and of course now Beretta has done that for you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not.
And we're kind of mimicking the tactical versions.
Right.
The tactical
right.
Versions
yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Make it easier. Maybe make
30
it easier.
Want, yeah.
Yeah. Jam those shells up in there. You know. And you know, I think that you know one of the things we've always done on the you know on the Beretta semi-autos is really good trigger job. You know, because in all fairness, you know this gun it's a production gun. You know, it needs to be a production gun to meet the price point, you know, that it is. But it is a good quality production point. And again, it's sort of going back to Beretta, the size of the company, the sophistication of their, you know, of their engineering department and their ability to analyze different steels and materials and the different properties and the way they can be heat treated. You know, you end up with extremely correct parts. In the gun, and even if you took it apart and you look at the trigger assembly, for example, you say it looks like there's some stamped parts and everything in here. Yeah, but they very seldom does anything ever break because of the engineering. You know, they don't need to take solid forgings and machine forgings and make very very expensive parts to drive the cost up in order to make a tremendous reliability in terms of the gun. And so what happens is that when we do a trigger job and we do a little bit of action work. You know, on that, we don't need to put a bunch of expensive parts in. You know, it's basically going in and tuning the existing parts that are already there to turn the trigger pull into, you know, from a standard off the shelf, substantial amount of creep, you know, 5 pound trigger pull to get it down to almost like a rifle at 3.25, 3.5 pounds, you know, and that, you know, for somebody that's really trying to grow in their shooting, having a really good trigger pull, that's a tremendous piece of it because you're not pulling the gun, you're not guessing when the gun is going to go off. And, you know, then on top of that, you know, you, again, a lot of it ends up being cosmetic, you know, you make it pretty. There's all kinds of different things you can do with the wood, different kinds of stocks. And, you know, we do those different colored laminate stocks and the TSK, you know, adjustable variations. And of course, you know, with Cerakote today, you know, it's like your art image is the sky's the limit, you know, because there's some really cool stuff that can be done on that. Actually, as you saw, you know, our sort of our prototype we have now have a fully engraved, you know, in a traditional type of a vine scroll. And so we're doing a lot more with the gun. And people say, well, you know, why? Who wants that expensive a semi-auto?
Right.
It's like, well, the reality is that this mm-hmm. semi-auto is a good enough quality gun, you know, that you know, there are people that want something that's nice enough that they are willing to spend $4,000 or $5,000
mm-hmm.
you know, for a gun. And you can actually do that with this and say, yep, it really does make sense. You can justify the cost of that, of putting really nice wood and engraving and finishing on it. So
yeah, it looks really nice. Desi, you shot an over-under for years and won a lot of titles with an over-under. But you've moved to the A400.
Yep.
Why is that?
Well, I used to shoot the old blue gun, and then I was shooting the DT for a while. And that's the beauty of Beretta, is they make a wide variety of guns. And just like kind of guns evolve and the game evolves, I think each person's shooting evolves a little bit as they go, depending on where you're at. And I loved my DT-11. It's a fantastic gun. I have no problems with that gun. And I was very successful with it for a long time.
Yeah.
But somewhere, you know, in my shooting, as it started changing, I started developing, you know, certain issues that I needed to fix to remain at the top, to compete. And one of those was recoil. That was becoming a really big issue for me. And my DT-11 really doesn't kick that bad. I shoot pretty light shell out of it. And Rich did a bunch of work on it for me. I love that gun, but that's the beauty. One of the big things about semi-automatic is it has no recoil. There's just so little felt recoil when you're pulling the trigger on that shotgun. It allows me to keep my eye on the bird better. It allows me to stay in the gun better. I don't get as tired as often. I have more, you know, endurance throughout the round. If I so choose, I can shoot a hotter load. I choose to shoot light shells anyways. I have confidence in those.
Oh.
I can manipulate the gun a little bit easier. The dynamics of it, Rich always uses that word, which I really like. The dynamics of that the semi-auto just feels really good right out of the box, even without a custom shot, even without all the extra work. It just feels good between your hands. The pointability, we kind of use that word a lot. You can point this gun, whether you're hunting or you're shooting clays. You pick it up and it just points well. And I was at a point in my shooting where that's kind of what I needed. I needed to change. And again, Beretta has all of those options. So I went with it. And we've got the new A400. And I love it even more than I like the blue gun. I really do. Like Diane said, I think it kicks less, felt recoil. The obviously enlarged loading port is very easy. They came with the extra button on it, which I like. I liked just, again, as a clay target shooter, you really pick up on the details of everything. You know, the shape of the forend, the shape of the receiver. How big is the button? How big is the, you know, charging handle? What weight is on the front of the gun? And I think everything that they changed from the blue gun to the new A400 XL is perfect. I like it all. I like matte finish. And it's doing well.
Sounds like you're going to stay.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. It's also, it's interesting. I mean, the sport, just sitting here listening to you guys talk a little bit, like I'm really new to the clay sport, but at least this particular side of it. And your point you made about the attention to detail, it's actually something that you get talked about the trigger, you talked about the cleanliness, and you just right here and also see the stock down there. You're kind of still tweaking that stock to get it fit right for you.
Rich is probably pulling his hair up. So I'm like, you little hair, you little bit there.
It's always something to Rich.
So I'm not to interrupt you, but what I want to say is that for the people who are watching this, it's like these shooters right here, these are the first tier NASCAR drivers.
Yeah.
Of sporting clays, and they are electing to shoot a relatively inexpensive semi-auto shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Their sponsor, Beretta, okay, will put them in a gun they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so the whole point is that each one of these people that have performed at a very, very high level, you know, have sort of the credibility to go back to Beretta and say, in order for me to perform at the epitome of my skill set, I want SL3, I want an SO5, I want a gun that is $27,000, and I want you to stock it for me, you know, at Beretta Douay over there, and they're going to step up and do that. Yet these folks are sitting around here saying that their level of attention to detail about the finesse points that causes the gun to be able to perform for them is met with a gun that is $1,600 or $1,700, you know. So, I mean, truly, what more does a person need to know in terms of, you know, what will this gun do? You know, I mean, the gun is going to outshoot anybody in the room. You know, I mean, that's the reality.
Yeah.
The gun is going to do the job. You know, but if it doesn't perform properly, then it's not going to do that. You know, so that's
the preventative maintenance, kind of making that full circle.
That kind of comes into another topic. I've got a 9-year-old that shoots an A400.
Mm-hmm.
He can load the gun, mount the gun, shoot the gun himself, and shoot 100 rounds, and he's fine. So that leads to this question. I know Diane Desi coach. Is that what someone should start out with when they start shooting?
Yes.
Hands down.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Hands down.
It is a great gun for the experienced shooters like Joe and Diane, and it's a great gun for the novice shooter. Again, for all of the reasons that we like it, plus some, low recoil, cost effective, function, pointability, all of these benefits, not do they just benefit us as, you know, professional shooters, but the person who's learning, the person who's starting, the young kid.
Yeah, even if you have to step down to the 20 gauge A400, it's just a phenomenal gun. Get somebody into it to just to learn the proper mechanics. They're not getting beat up by something, you know, that's a little bit heavier, or you know, just something that's going to be a lot easier for them to see around one barrel.
Yeah.
You know, to get the concept of what they need to do. Because it's you need to build those mechanics.
Right.
And it's I really truly believe, and I think Desi agrees with me wholeheartedly, it's easier to do with this gun.
Yeah, and not just kids. I'm not talking about just little tiny kids or you know, women.
Right.
You know,
any big animal.
Anybody who first picks up sporting clays or play target shooting, it's a fantastic gun to start with. Even you know, the other models. Beretta has a wide variety of, you know, semi-automatic and models, and they're all
good.
And I also see, I really feel like I'm seeing the pendulum swing just a bit.
Without a doubt.
Some of the people are transitioning back.
Absolutely.
One
thing I'll say real quick is, you know, you guys were talking about what a you know, remarkable starting gun it is. I mean, it is really great. I mean, it's a good gun to learn on. It's a good gun to start with and be introduced with. But I feel like there's this notion that if you want to, you know, compete at the highest of the high level, that, you know, you can't do it with an automatic. And I don't know why people feel like that. And I feel like that's just something that is kind of stereotypically spread across the sport. I think it's false personally. But, you know, not only is
it
a great starter gun, but you can certainly.
I don't know,
one of the most frequent questions I get asked, and I get asked quite a few questions all the time, shooting related, and it's, you know, when are you going to move up to an overnight? You know, when are you? Is it going to be 2 years, 3 years? You know, when are you finally going to make that switch? And everybody thinks like this is just a gateway gun to, you know, open up more doors in the future for your career. But it's certainly not. I mean, I am very confident saying this, but, you know, I shot a 391 in a couple of years before I shot the A400, and I absolutely loved it. Like you said, they were phenomenal guns also. But I like this gun. I like how simple it is. Everything you guys said, it's, you know, lighter. The recoil is great. It's very forgiving. You can manipulate it. It can point well. I mean, it has everything that I'm looking for. And for me, at the end of the day, the gun is a tool. We're out here. The whole point of investing time into all this, or someone watching this video, or us choosing a gun, is to be better at what we do, which is clay target shooting. And the goal at the end of the day is to be able to do everything you can and to set up giving yourself the best chance to break as many targets on the course as possible. And that's the end goal. And for me and for all the rest of us, you know, the A400 offers that. And, you know, a lot of people do, you know, get the stereotype of, oh, you know, it's more of, you know, a gun catered towards ladies or younger kids or things like that. You know, oh, the automatic is just too light, it's too whippy. And get it weighted. I mean, it's an opportunity. I mean, you know, Desi's gun has some weights in it. You know, you can put weight in the front, you can put weight in the back. I mean, there's all kind of people around the world that, you know, could shoot this gun. And they just, it's in their head for some reason that they are not able to perform with it at a certain level, but I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think people should be hesitant to switch to it. And like Ms. Diane said, I think a lot of people have realized that here recently, and a lot of people are using the gun.
Yeah.
And especially with, you know, gunsmiths out there like Mr. Rich, who's the best in the business. I mean, they can do, you know, whatever is necessary to set it up to your liking. And, you know, it's not just a cookie cutter gun. I mean, if you get a Colt Pro, like what a lot of us shoot, or, you know, even, you know, out of the box from Beretta, the gun is a phenomenal gun. You know, it's a great gun. You can compete with it for a long time. I shot a factory gun from Beretta, you know, with the factory stock for 3 years. 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I love my custom stock from Mr. Rich. But, I mean, that just shows you, you know, what an affordable $1,700 gun can offer.
Like,
you know, it's pretty amazing.
Needs to be.
My 390s and my 391s were all factory.
What are you
going to really?
Stop to the auto?
Well,
instead
oh, really?
Of saying, well, what are you going to go up to the over?
My only.
So, do you remember what you won with a factory gun? Not the major stuff, but.
Everything.
Like,
I mean everything. You want everything with a factory gun.
Yes.
Right out of the box, take it out there and shoot.
I will say I've had trigger work along the way. You
okay.
know, I had some trigger work, you know, like Rich saying, you know, instead of going like 7-8 pounds trying to pull on that trigger, trying to get down to that 3.5, 3.25, which makes a big difference. But other than that, the gun was factory.
I mean, to take a factory box gun and to do a trigger job is not really expensive. Mm-hmm. That really changes the way it feels.
Right. $150, something,
right.
You know, something
yeah.
like that.
Big difference.
But you know what you're talking about with Diane there? You know, there's that old saying, it's the Indian, it's not the arrow.
That's
you
right.
Stack, you know? I mean, the arrow can't be crooked.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
It's interesting. I just want to say, as Desi was saying, you know, the question shouldn't be, when are you going up to an over-under? The question should be, when are you going from an over-under back to a semi-auto? Because what they've got is a semi-auto, which obviously demonstrated performance, you know, at the highest levels. You know, it's interesting, you know, in my business, you know, we've always worked on these semi-autos. My passion to find over-unders, you know, I like stocking the really good guns and setting them up for, you know, for clients. That's fun for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily it's not the best thing for everyone, but it's fun for me. Many, many, many of my clients that, you know, have the means to own fine guns, expensive guns, and do, okay, have been coming to us for Beretta 8400s. And so they are. And what it is that, you know, Rich, I've been shooting for a long time, you know, and everything. And, you know, I've been shooting my bleep, 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 but I think I want to, you know, give something that's a little softer a try.
Yeah.
No, and it's across the board. I mean, it's not saying my bleep bleep you. It's not a KAU or, you know, or a DT-11 or an F3. It's just the difference between a semi-auto versus a fixed breech gun. Okay, the semi-auto is utilizing so much of what would be felt recoil in the cycling of the gun, and in this type of a system that Beretta's got in the A400, you know, they've really worked it out so that the system is super efficient in terms of utilizing that pressure to cycle the action and not turn it into felt recoil. You know, and as you all shoot a lot, you know that recoil is the enemy because it's a cumulative thing.
Yes.
You know, over a period of time, you know, it's poke, 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 it wears you out. And if you can, anything that you can do to reduce that recoil, you know, is going to make you a more effective shooter.
Absolutely. And Beretta puts kickoffs now inside here in the middle of the stock. Versus with a blue gun, they were on the end of the stock.
Yes.
So that's another way to reduce recoil.
This would be the example right here.
So talk about that a little bit, Rich, how that works.
Yeah, what that's doing basically is that, you know, when you have kickoff on the which replaces the recoil pattern, the butt end of the gun, there's some limitation in terms of what you can do for adjusting the length of pull for the shooter. You know, when you've moved the kickoff onto the up towards the center of the gun, now you have a standard wood butt whereby you can shorten the stock, or you can lengthen the stock. You know, one of the other advantages that the A400 presents is that you can do a lot more with stock dimensional changes. Because in all of the earlier Berettas, what you had is we had action spring tube. So you had a small 19 millimeter tube that would go down the center of the stock, you know, within, you know, a couple inches of the butt of the stock, and inside that it has spring, and so you've got, you know, what we call a bolt slide connecting rod in the back of the bolt, and that was what applied the pressure when the gun fired to open the bolt and then close the bolt again. Now you've got the action of spring around the magazine tube and is a component of the whole bolt carrier group. So you've got now all you've got to do is have a threaded rod that goes through the stock with a nut and a plate on it, the stock washer plate, gives you a lot of opportunity to move things around in that stock. You know, you can modify the drop washers and shims if somebody needs, you know, extra cast or more drop or less drop. It's for custom work. You know, it ends up being more flexible. And you know, the kickoff system here, I mean, I think that, you know, it ends up being an ideal off the shelf type of a solution for someone that wants to buy a gun that's got some, you know, additional recoil reduction.
And they also come without it.
They come without it as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Diane, you do a bunch of duck hunting and, you know, bird hunting and whatnot, but this new kickoff, in the stock as opposed to the back, I'm definitely a fan of. I feel like it's not as springy as the old kickoff. It the stock just moves, it maybe felt it moves less when you shoot, but you still do get less recoil. It still does its job. You just don't feel that absorption as much now with the new kickoff as you did with the old kickoff that was on the very back of the gun.
Exactly, like in the A400 Extreme, let's just say, for like duck hunting, whatever. That's where I notice it the most when you're pounding those steel rounds out there.
Right.
You know, that's a great benefit to have.
Yeah.
To feel that right in your grip.
Mm-hmm.
Those waterfowl loads are not 1,200 foot per second one.
No.
No, they're not friendly.
You know, those will rattle the fillings loose.
Right.
Diane, I didn't know you hunt.
Oh, I do.
Really?
Love it. Time.
I remember when she's talking about guns and she said hunting, and I said, what?
Love it, yes.
Really? Where do you do your hunting at?
Oh, most of my hunting at home in Jersey. Yep.
Nice.
Deer hunt, duck hunt,
yep.
Goose hunt.
What?
Rat hunting.
Yeah.
Oh. Love it.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's kind of changing the subject a little
bit.
Okay.
I'm ready to say
for that too.
So, but I was looking at World Feed Test rankings the other day. And correct me if I'm wrong, but are you ranked number one in the World Feed Test?
As of now, just kind of how the point system has been tallied up, you know, it's a cumulative over the last couple of years. But as of right now, I think I am.
Yes. Yeah, and you're shooting an A400. That's what impresses me. You take an A400 and rank number one in the World Feed Test. I mean, that's very impressive.
It's a gun just like
rat
the
one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're not talking about this anymore.
I think this is the Indian thing, Rich.
Yeah.
Indian.
So, you want to wrap it up?
You know, one thing I would like to say, before we wrap it up, is that I want to compliment the Beretta team shooters.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of professional shooters, and we have Team Cole, which are all little kids, that we've got going on, that we're trying to help these families out and keep these kids going. So we've got a very, very broad spectrum of different kinds of individuals and different, shooters that are shooting. And of course we've got other manufacturers that we work with and other sponsored shooters that shoot those, So I'm wearing a Beretta hat doing a Beretta thing. But we've got other things going on, and I like to look at our industry as we're really one big family. And though there's a time when the competition goes, you've got to compete, but what is really cool is that these shooters help each other out. And that's really cool. And I've gotten to know, all of the Team Beretta shooters, and the one thing that I see in that is that there is a family type of a unity, and that comes from, sort of the Beretta's a family owned type of corporation, and there's that family orientation. I have a tremendous admiration, for all of these shooters, because they're not only great shooters, but they're really, really good people, And I think that Brian Buzzy and that whole team, have chosen and selected people because, let's face it, 99 out of 100 shooters wants to be on the Beretta team. You got a lot of people who would like to be there, and that there are a lot of other really, really good shooters out there and good people out there. But, this group is pretty awesome.
Right back at you.
Pretty awesome.
Very well said, Rich. Thank you.
I feel very, very privileged to have been able to get to know all you folks and work with you and help you with your guns and that, because I go way, way, way back with Beretta. That was Bob Bonaventure and Ugo Busali Beretta gave me my chance at, being the apprentice at Beretta.
Yeah.
Rich, you're our encyclopedia. For sure.
Right. Yeah.
You are definitely.
It's starting to wane. I got to tell you, it's starting to wane. But we put together again. It's a team. It's a team. You got a lot of people that everybody's just like we're willing to share our information and work together and it sort of webs out there. For a lot of people, get the benefit of kind of what's going on here. So
some of the best shooters in the U.S. are on Team Beretta, without a doubt. And a lot of the tournaments, I've talked about this before, that have been won
this year, 2022, have been one with a Beretta. Mm-hmm. Whether it be an auto or overnight or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And most of them came from Rich, you know. So, mm-hmm. Now, Rich, where are your locations? Naples, Florida?
Yep, we've got our shop where we do most of our over-under custom work and stock work is in Naples, Florida. We've got our original location, which is Harpswell, Maine. That's where most of the Beretta warranty repair service for shop nuns is done. They distribute all the spare parts and wood sets and things like that there. We've got a really, really nice facility at the National Shooting Complex in San Antonio, Texas. And then at Sarasota Trap, Skeet & Clay's in Sarasota, we've got the coal closet, which is we've got a lot of demo guns in there because I'm a real proponent of people trying to have the opportunity to demo them, you know, before they buy to sort of have a sense of what that feels like. Of course, everybody doesn't have that opportunity, but you know, I always encourage people to do that. And you know, anybody that demos an A400, it sells itself for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really does. When you shoot it, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Anybody wanting one of these can contact you. They want a trigger job, you can do it.
Yeah, we can do any of that kind of performance work on that. And again, you know, all the dealers, you know, in the Beretta family, you know, will have A400. So there are lots and lots of resources to be able to, you know, to be able to have these guns.
Yeah. Does that wrap it up? I think so. I appreciate you guys coming on and spending
appreciate
some time here.
It's
Open.
Fun. It's a good time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, US Open, it's a big shooting. These shooters here are with us, and I appreciate the Clay Lab. I can't see them right now because there's lights, but I appreciate them taking their time to do this.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah. And I guess we'll get back to shooting.
Justin, we can let everybody get back to shooting, but thank you for everything.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the shooters come out here.
Yep.
So Diane, Desi, and Rich, really, really appreciate you. Thank you for having the philosophy that you do, the approach that you do, and just the dedication to the sport that you do. So I really appreciate that.
We're in the entertainment business, buddy. We all want to be out there having fun.
Yeah, that's right. Very true.
All right, guys. That's it.